God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. June 11th, 2023. Beautiful sunny day here in northern Vermont. Absolutely gorgeous outside. It's a little cool when you open the windows. There is that breeze. It's supposed to warm up to the mid-60s today. I saw a posting from a friend of mine, the couple that hosted the conference we attended. Their daughter had posted she was ready to go to the beach because it was 105 degrees in Bartow, Florida. And I told her, well, we warmed all the way up to 64. But it's a beautiful day. And a lot of times people that are taught about, you know, public speaking are taught to reiterate your message. Say it a couple of different ways, a couple of different times to make sure the point gets across. So in our music list this morning was, are you washed in the blood? Come to Jesus, and before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. It was a salvation message in three songs. It was the answer to the question that's on the bullet, the sign out there. Who covers your sin? Now, we know that sin is that which separates us from God. I was thinking Wednesday night and mentioned it to Steve on Thursday morning. I look at the Ten Commandments, and there's one of them that I don't think I broke. Do you ever take a look at the Ten Commandments and look at your life and see how hopeless and how helpless we are? Now, I've never physically killed somebody, but Jesus said, if I hated my brother, I've committed murder in my heart. The only one I can think of that I maybe didn't break is I can't remember ever having made a graven image. Not even figuratively. But the Bible says that if you broke it, it's one law. So if you've broken one, you've broken the whole law. I am helpless and destitute before the throne of God above, except for that strong and perfect plea that Jesus died to pay the price for my sins. We know sin is important because when the paralytic was lowered, they ripped up the roof and they lowered the paralytic down before Jesus when he was speaking. And Jesus didn't heal him first. He said, your sins are forgiven first. To the woman taken in adultery, Jesus said, go and sin no more. To another person, he said, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. So Jesus was telling the people that they needed to turn their back on sin. They needed to get away from sin. But like John said, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Way back in Proverbs. So the question is, who covers your sin? For one thing, it's somebody that loves you. Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God had a plan of salvation before the foundation of the world, which is referred to and is kind of hinted at all through scripture. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and in my flesh I will see him. My eyes shall behold him and not another's. I am going to see the salvation that God has provided for me. That all through scripture, in Genesis, as in fact, God talking, until Shiloh comes, until peace personified comes, that there was going to be the turmoil in the land. We need a Savior. Praise God, I realize we're all saved. I realize everybody's sitting here within sight. I don't know who all's listening. But everybody that I see, I know you have a relationship with God. But sometimes it's good to go back and remember what God has done. I can stand before a holy God because Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. Jesus loved me so much, He died to pay the price for my sin. He loved the Father so much, He was willing to pay the price for my sin. 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 7, says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For, quote, love will cover a multitude of sins." There is another verse that says love will cover the multitude of sins. This one says a, another place says the. But have love one for another and recognize, it says, be watchful, be serious, and watchful in your prayers, remembering what God has done. What has God done? We can go all through Scripture. We can go through the New Testament. We can go talk about the medical aspects of a crucifixion and all of those things that Jesus endured on our behalf. But Isaiah 53 really lays it out. So we're going to read Isaiah 53. All 12 verses. It's not that long. And it starts with, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" When I read that, I see this is something that people hearing about it, if they haven't experienced it, have a hard time wrapping their mind around it. Do we understand that God planned this before the foundation of the world? God looked down through the pages of history and knew that in the garden, Adam and Eve were going to sin. They were going to disobey God. They were going to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where God had said, "The day that you eat of it, you shall die." And death came into the world, and sin came into the world because of disobedience. And God looked down through that. And He looked down through the pages of time and knew what was coming. And knew there was no way for you or I to come before a holy God in our own righteousness, because we could never be good enough. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer, as Job said. We needed someone to pay the price. I shared last night, I think, might have been this morning, as I was going through one of the songs that I looked at, was Keith Green did Altar Call. And he talks about, most people don't find out till it's too late that someone has to pay the price. Most people don't find out till they're half dead that they need another life. We need a Savior. We need salvation. And anytime I hear Keith Green singing, I always go back and wonder. He came to Miami about the time I'd walked out of church. And I wonder how the path that I've walked would have been different if I'd heard a message then that I was not getting in church. I'd wondered how things would have been different if I just understood that God can change me. Growing up in a church, yet not being given the understanding of how to walk with the Lord. So it's always good to go back and to look through it. Verse 2 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as the root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Scripture says Jesus was ordinary. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant." Anybody? Well, I have. I'm sure we all have at some point. Whether you planted new plants for your garden, or maybe you had a bare patch and you needed to put some grass seed down, and how when the plants just start, they're so tender, they're so helpless. Just like every other plant that grows up, Jesus, talking about Jesus, says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, just like everything else. Not, you know, just very ordinary. As a root out of dry ground, so difficult situations. Says he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus looked normal. You know, you look at the pictures that all the artist depictions of Jesus with the halo around him and the glowing, and Jesus was a normal guy. It's not like the scripture talks about Saul being head and shoulders above all the rest of Israel. You know, not, you know, this great guy or the beauty of the shepherd boy David who became king. The scripture talks about that. None of that about Jesus. He was an ordinary looking guy. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Talking about Jesus. You imagine the rumors that flew around Nazareth, the rumors that flew around Bethlehem, Mary being pregnant before the wedding. Oh yeah, you're that guy. You imagine the rumors? He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Turmoil on every side. Joseph, the carpenter, loved Mary and was being obedient to God. And they went through, and he did not know his wife until after Jesus was born. You know the rumors that were flying. You know the turmoil and the stigma on all of them. Yet God had a plan. It all fits in with what Isaiah is telling us here. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Have you been comforted by the Lord? Can you look back at those times in the midst of grief, in the midst of sorrow, when there was nobody around, and yet God was right there wrapping his arms round about you? Praise God. Praise God that we have a Savior who was willing to endure all that he endured. Being obedient to the Father, Scripture said he became obedient to death, even a death on the cross. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Praise God. Continuing on, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Jesus is walking along with his disciples. And they see a man born blind, and the disciples say to Jesus, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents, but this happened for the glory of God. God is doing things behind the scenes, and if all we look at is what we can see with our eyes and try to imagine with our minds, rather than recognizing God is doing things we don't understand. But one day I will know even as also I am known. One day I'm going to have the answers. They saw Jesus. They esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. The thief on the cross that didn't repent, that didn't say, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom, was one of the ones saying, you claim to be the Messiah, rescue yourself and us. Mocking him. Hanging on the cross, mocking somebody else. How hard is his heart? How hard have our hearts been in times past? Praise God that we are bought with a price. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Everybody know that song? By the blood of the Lamb. He's done wondrous things in our life. And it's important to go back and remember, not just to coast through life, not just to go about our day to day, but look back. What has God done to bring in me? What has God done to bring you into the kingdom? because it gives us a compassion and a help and a desire to reach the lost around us. When we remember who we were, when we remember where God brought us from, I'm here to tell you, there is nothing too hard for my God. He can touch and turn anybody's heart. I know that because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my own life. So I have hope and an expectation that God is doing wonderful things. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Everything Jesus went through, he went through for you and for me. Everything he went through was paying the penalty for you and for me. For my sin, for your sin. Who covers your sin? Praise God. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were not obedient to the Lord. We were pursuing, we were doing those things which are right in our own eyes, as your scripture talks about. Doing what I thought was right, rather than seeking what God thought was right. Doing what I figured I could get away with, rather than what God said was right. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is back in Isaiah's prophesying this. 900 years or so before Jesus is born, he's laying out what's coming. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus taken before Herod. Pilate sent him over to Herod. Right? Took him over there. Took him to the king. And Jesus wouldn't defend himself. And the king got mad. Sent him back. Wanted Jesus to say something. As a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus did not defend himself. To Pilate, Pilate said, "Are you a king?" He said, "If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be in, would attack, would come in." He says, "Oh, so you are a king?" And Jesus said, "Is that something you say? Or is that something somebody told you to say?" Pilate washed his hands and said, I find no fault in this man." He didn't defend himself. He knew what was coming. Scripture says, I mentioned it a minute ago, he endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy set before him. He knew what was coming. Another point, in the garden, he says, "Father, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it is for this purpose that I came to this hour." Jesus knew what he was facing. Willingly went through it. Knew he was being betrayed. Judas betrayed him with a kiss. But before that, before Jesus sent him out, he said, "What you do, do quickly." He knew what was coming. And willingly went through it. Because it would fulfill the Father's plan. It would redeem your life and my life from destruction. It would give us a way to the throne of grace. It would satisfy the righteous judgment of God, that the sin be punished, so that God could shed his grace abroad in our hearts. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. For our transgressions he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He was innocent. He was sinless. He was righteous. And he chose to lay down his life on our behalf. Jesus had talked to the Pharisees at one point. He says, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He hadn't sinned. Which of you can come up with anything? They had to falsely accuse him. Verse 10. Talk about this a lot. Verses 10 through 12. Actually, verses 10 and 11. But it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief." God was pleased to bring his plan to fruition. He was pleased to provide salvation for us. He was pleased to provide a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was willing to do it. God was pleased. It was said in verse 1. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And starting here, you'll hear me say this often. When you claim his soul as an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of Jesus' soul, his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. When you claim his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he that is God looks down at him that is Jesus, looks down at us and sees Jesus standing in our stead. We are imputed into the righteousness of Jesus because he took upon himself our sin and paid the penalty. As we deal with other people, as we kind of share and just go about our daily lives trying to be faithful witnesses, recognize that if they don't have Jesus, they don't have a covering for their sin. No matter what else may be going on in their life, at the end of their days, they're facing an eternity without God. I know who covers my sin. As we deal with people, the question has to come up, who covers your sin? Carl talks about meeting people from other religions, and you all come down to you, well, what do you do with sin? How do you handle that? Sin exists. We know it does. Even from the time we're little kids, there's that selfishness. There's lying and trying to get away with things. Guilty. All of us. But God is faithful and God has made a way. When you claim his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he looks down and sees him standing in our stead. Looks down and sees us clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. My sin is covered because of what Jesus has done. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. Jesus lived and died and paid the price for my sin. Romans 3, beginning with verse 21. Says, But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And we just read it in Isaiah. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That righteous servant, that suffering servant mentioned in Isaiah 53. To all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, or a payment by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. A righteous God who cannot abide sin. Sin must be punished. Provided the righteous and holy God provided his own sacrifice. When Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah, and they're going up to do the sacrifice, and Isaac says to the father, it says to Abraham, "Father, we have wood and we have fire. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God himself will provide the sacrifice." God provided the sacrifice to pay the price for your sin and for mine. Continuing on, verse 25, about halfway through. "Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." God's plan set forth. Isaiah 53, remember how it started. "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" If you haven't understood this, if God hasn't touched our minds and began to bring us into relationship and give us that new birth where we can begin to understand and draw things, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't kind of fit into our framework if our framework hasn't been modified by knowing God. In Keith Green's song, Altar Call, talking about most people don't find out till it's too late that someone has to pay the price. You can pay it yourself or let someone else. But who would be that nice? To pay a debt that isn't his. Well, I know someone like that. And he's your best friend. He really is. He really loves you. We saw it read in Proverbs that love is what covers the sin. The love Jesus had, the love the Father had for us, the love Jesus had for the Father and for his creation. That love willingly paid the price for your sin and for mine. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And I call you my friends. Jesus willingly laid it down. Romans 5, beginning with verse 17, says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification to life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned to death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus paid the price. Jesus told the woman taken in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." He told the paralytic man, "Your sins are forgiven." And when the Pharisees and the scribes sitting around that accused him of blasphemy, saying, who can forgive sins but God himself?" And Jesus says, "What is harder to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk. But because you can know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin, I say to you, son, rise, take up your bed and walk." And when he rose up, Jesus had confirmed that he was there for the purpose of redeeming our lives from destruction, for the purpose of forgiveness of sin, for the purpose of setting us in right relationship with the Father. Who covers your sin? Think of what Jesus went through that you and I could be here today. What he went through that you and I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Not clothed in our own filthy rags, not clothed in our own unrighteousness, not clothed in our own failures and faults. But we come before the throne of grace clothed in the righteousness of God's perfect sacrifice. When you claim his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he looks down and sees his righteous servant and is satisfied. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder. Thank you, Father, for just the stirring that you are the one who made the way. And even though it didn't make sense, it doesn't make sense to the carnal mind, which is at enmity with you anyway, which just the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. That you made a way, that you made a perfect sacrifice and have revealed it through your servants through the years, through the generations, through the millennia. You have revealed it so that even Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Father, that you redeemed our lives from destruction, that we might boldly come before your throne of grace, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus, because he took upon himself and paid the penalty for our sin, fulfilling your plan, fulfilling your purpose. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the Father and forever makes intercession for us. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.